Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Pastor George is back, and this is day
194.
194 of prosperity. And we want to hear some good testimonies from the Word that's been preached. Welcome, Pastor George.
194 broadcasts ago,
we determined
to do a series on prosperity, and we've been going ever since. We've been endeavoring.
There's no end, is there?
There's no end to it, really, and we just keep learning and growing and understanding more about the prosperous life.
Yes, amen.
And we have been given the blessing of God, the blessing of the Lord. It makes rich,
yes.
Truly rich.
Somebody said, I've been rich and I've been poor and rich is better.
Rich is better.
And
rich is better.
Remember when you had to pray in tongues to pay your bills?
Oh, man. I remember too, you'd have to split bills, like pay a little bit here and a little bit there. And it is the will of God for us to sleep at night.
Amen.
It is the will of God for us to be able to have the finances that we need to pay for what we need to pay, to be completely out of debt.
To owe no man anything but to love him.
That's right. Exactly. Awesome. And that's a life of freedom that he's given to us.
Praise
and those
God.
Of you that are interested in these notes are available to you on kcm.org, the ones that Gloria and I are teaching on right now, as well as all of the other notes that we have taught. We've kept
Praise
them online. They're available to you. You can go back and look at the broadcasts. I mean, you could do a one a day prosperity broadcast, and over a period of time, you can really become developed.
Okay, we've done 194.
Mm-hmm. Today's 194.
So we're going for it.
We're going for it, Gloria.
Good job, George.
We're going for it. And so, so far we've had 450,000 of these outlines downloaded.
Isn't that amazing?
Folks are interested in knowing.
I want to hear from people like the pastors maybe that have preached those. You have no objection to that.
Oh, not at all. They can take these and print them out.
I want to hear testimonies. And
if there's a course or a class that they want to have in their church, they can print these out and hand them out to their congregation.
That would be a very wise thing to do.
I've had pastors tell me before that some of them have used these prosperity outlines for their offering times.
If I were a pastor, I'd be interested in my people knowing how to prosper.
I tell my people all the time, it's a prosperous congregation.
Yes, amen.
Praise God. So what we're talking about here, Gloria, these 2 weeks of broadcast that we're on, we're talking about living a life being truly rich. Rich is not a dirty word. It's
That's
a Bible
right.
word. It is a word from the Word of God
right.
that He desires for us to be rich. But within the context of being rich, there is certain conduct,
we
could call it the lifestyles of the rich and righteous. That's how we act. That's how we conduct ourselves.
And obedient.
Yes.
I mean, that's how you get to prosper.
That's right.
It's like healing. That's how you get healed, is getting on the Word of God and doing it.
That's how
you prosper.
If you are willing and obedient,
yes.
you will eat the
willing
good
and obedient.
Of the land.
You know, there's some Christians that aren't willing to prosper. They actually fight the prosperity truth that's in the Bible. I never could understand that.
Mm-mm.
Somebody said, I've been rich and I've been poor and rich is better.
Rich is much better.
And I can figure out.
It's much
out.
Better.
Man, I remember when we couldn't pay our bills. We had to believe God. Had an old car, little old rent house.
It was not a good situation.
Down by the riverside. It was sad.
It was sad. But look at you now. Look at how God has just blessed and prospered you.
You know what happened? This, I probably told this a dozen times, but we moved to Tulsa. You know, Ken was at ORU, and he was a 30-year-old freshman, and
mm-hmm.
he was attending classes at ORU, and he got the job of flying co-pilot on Brother Robert's airplane, because he was a commercial pilot, is a commercial pilot. And so it put him in those crusades. Well, I was at home in the little project house with two kids and nothing, no money, you know, and he was in those great meetings.
Yes, he'd come home
so excited. And we started believing, get out of debt. That was the first thing that we did, was try to get out of debt. And we did it. It took us about 11 months to get out of debt. And it's been a marvelous thing to be prosperous supernaturally. It's available to anybody.
It
but
is.
If you don't know about it, I mean, we went for years not knowing about it, so
right.
we just had to
right.
do the best we could, borrow money, scrape along, drive an old car, live in the project. I mean, I'm telling you.
And the Lord got you out.
Said,
he got you out. Yeah.
What did he say?
I've been poor. I've been rich.
Rich is better.
So that's...
What is rich? Rich is just having an abundance.
It's having an abundance. It's having what we have. It's having our needs supplied and our needs met. And that's the will of God for you.
So now we're going to talk about God's will for you.
You know, truly rich. I've read before some things that people have written and they're talking, well, it's not God's will for everybody to be wealthy, everybody to be rich. Yeah, it is.
You'd have to ignore the blessing to say that.
Yeah, you would.
It's in the blessing.
You would.
Deuteronomy 28 tells you the blessing and the curse.
And God is no respecter of persons. That if you are willing to walk in the blessing of Abraham, being blessed coming in and blessed going out,
right.
then He desires for you to walk in that place of His richness.
You do not have to twist my arm to be prosperous. It is much better than being in poverty.
It is.
Ask me
it
how
is.
I know.
Well, Gloria, we're talking about this subject of being truly rich.
Truly rich.
And 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 is the scripture verse that we're using, and it says, charge them. This is Paul talking to Timothy to tell the rich people in the church, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded or arrogant, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy,
Hallelujah.
That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate. Now, those are the things that Paul laid out for those who are rich to be able to find. They're really guidelines.
He did not say, you're all going to hell.
Yeah.
He did not
That's right,
say
Gloria.
That. That
no,
is
he
not
did
here.
Not. No, I don't think I would have put it that way, but this is your broadcast.
Short on time.
But it's a good way. No, he didn't tell them that.
People think it's just wrong to prosper. Not as many as used to in the church.
He didn't tell them that you need to be poor. You need to take a vow of poverty. He was trying to get them straightened out on how to be rich God's way. There is a way to be rich, and we talked about yesterday.
And His way's safe. I mean, it won't hurt you.
That's right.
If you try to accumulate for yourself and you honor riches instead of honor God, well, that's not safe.
Well, we read Proverbs 10:22, where it talked about the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich.
That's right.
He adds no sorrow to it or trouble to it or no toil to it. And you said, really on Monday, you said that when we try to do it ourselves, that's when the trouble comes.
Yeah.
That's when the toil comes. So we're learning how, this is like a wealth training seminar. We all need to know how do the godly rich act? How do they conduct themselves? I was out the other day and I was in a little store and I was looking at their magazine section and there was a Forbes magazine. And it caught my attention so much I bought it because it was their issue on billionaires. And I thought, well, this will be interesting. This will be interesting to look at. And it was a listing in Forbes magazine of all of the billionaires of the world. And it broken down into China and Europe and the United States and so forth. And just fascinated with the fact that there is a place of prosperity and riches that God desires for us to walk in, that He wants us to experience, that we're, like Brother Copeland has talked about, pressing the billion flow. Pressing into the billion flow. I mean, you all have pressed into the million flow. And as we talked about earlier this week, since 1983, this ministry has given in excess of $230 million. I mean, that's a corporation. That's a corporation. That's a business. Mm-hmm. But the ministry has given that much. Well, you have learned the principles of operating in godly wealth. You know what to do with it. You know how to conduct yourself.
It's in the Bible.
And it's in the Bible. That's where we found it.
Yeah.
So today what we're going to do is look at this next point. Yesterday we talked about not being high-minded or arrogant, but the true godly rich walk in humility. That's what we learned yesterday.
Well,
today.
How do you say that? The scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Yes.
And He will in due time exalt you. So when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that means you do what He says. Mm-hmm. And you say what He says. Mm-hmm. And then it works. Prosperity comes.
So what does exalt you mean? It means lifting you up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bringing you into a higher
place.
The
Word of God lifted us from being in
from poverty
to blessing.
Yes. Yes.
And poverty's a curse. There's no question.
There
about
is no
that.
Question it's about that. It is a curse. So we talked about that. We talked about not being high-minded. Then He charged them. He said, do not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy.
You know what helps you there? Is tithing.
Oh, yeah.
When you start tithing when you don't have enough really to manage, you know, and pay your bills. You start tithing because you find it in the Word.
Yes.
And you're putting God first in your finances. And you will enjoy the blessing of the tither.
Absolutely.
Glory to God.
Well, we put tithing first place. In our household, yeah. Tithing is number one. As a matter of fact, whenever I do bills, I do the bills. Terry has certain things that she does in our household. I do the bills.
That's your fun job.
That's my fun job. Well, it is now. I mean, it's fun when you can do your bills and there's
mm-hmm.
plenty left over. So, but that's what I do. But in the records that I keep, the tithe is the first, it's at the top of the page
thing.
And it's the first thing that I do. It's the first, and I write checks for that. I write checks for the tithe. I mean, we could do it through our charge card or we could do it online, but we just choose to do it
that
way. And Terry and I pray over it. We pray over our tithe. We really got that from you and Kenneth about praying over the tithe.
Yes, amen.
You two are very diligent about that. And so we've taken that upon ourselves that
when we pray, we take the blessing of the tither too.
Take the blessing of the tither.
And we're not bashful about that. That's what the Word
says.
I'll
tell you, there's power available to the tither. I'll just tell this quickly, and we're so running out of time, but that's okay because I'm enjoying talking to you. but the tither's rights and coming before the Lord in the name of a tither, there is a testimony that Mark Barkley taught at our ministers' conference this year. And his little daughter drowned in the pool. His granddaughter drowned in the pool.
Awesome story.
And boy, he's telling this story and we're all just sitting there like, oh my gosh. He said, last summer, my granddaughter drowned in the pool.
He got
everybody's paramedics came and they got her out. Her hair got caught in the vent and they got her out.
And
they laid her down.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how the paramedics were looking at their watch and 5 minutes was going by. And this one paramedic who was standing over the granddaughter was looking at her and was getting ready to look at the mother and shake his head. Mm-hmm. And she was gone. And all of a sudden, Mark Barkley's son-in-law came and stood over that child and said and shouted, in the name of Jesus, I command life to come back to my daughter. Satan, you take your hands off my daughter. I come in the name of a tither.
He did. He used the tither.
And Mark The tither position. And Mark Barkley said that her body jumped off the ground that high.
Praise God. I think, did we put that on the internet? Did we put that on our
I'm not sure if we did. We need to.
We do.
We need to.
Check on it. Because that's a marvelous
testimony. I showed it at our Resurrection Day Sunday service.
Yes.
Because I wanted the people to see resurrection.
And
her body jumped off of that pool into the air. And she came back to life. And then they took her in the ambulance just to check her at the hospital. And she comes walking out of the ambulance. And so the doctor waiting for her there says, where's the girl? And the paramedic, all he could do was point. He was so choked up by it. All he could do is point at her. And they brought her in and they were checking her out. And she said the funniest thing. She said, was talking to Mark Barkley, talking about, she said, I'm just like Jesus. I was raised from the dead.
Praise God.
Well, that was all because He came in the name of a tither.
Yeah. Praise Praise
He
God.
Came in the name of a tither.
We need to put that.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Gloria.
I'd like to see it again myself.
And so that's why it's important as we're talking about this. We're going to talk about this point for the next couple of days.
Good.
Where it says here, do not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So Paul, he told Timothy, he said, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God who richly provides for them everything for their enjoyment.
Amen.
Paul, this is good. This is on number three there. You've got it in the Message translation. It says, tell those who are rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tell them to go after God who piles on all the riches we could ever manage.
That is great.
Isn't that
translation.
Wonderful?
Tell
Isn't
them
that
to go
something?
After God.
Tell them to go after God who piles on all the riches we could ever manage. Imagine.
Praise God.
Point being here is that Paul understood completely that the rich were tempted to replace their trust in God with their trust in wealth. And the assignment that he was given was to lead the rich away from their trust in money and redirect their trust towards God.
That's right.
So Gloria, what
money
I'd like...
Money only goes so far. God goes however far he has to.
Money only goes so far, but God... goes.
There's a gloryism for you.
Goes. What did you say? Money only goes so far, but
God goes as far as he has to.
As far as he has to. God goes all the way.
Yep.
God goes all the way.
Praise God.
Well, listen, Gloria, we've got 2 pages of notes in 5 minutes, so here's
That's
what
good,
I want
George,
to do.
George, go for it.
What we'll do is these notes are available to you online, but I want you to go to the last page, Gloria.
Okay.
And once again, let's do a lightning round together on these scriptures. We've got a few moments left, and so where are you?
Is that this one?
No, it's the next one. Go to the next one, and
here.
Where did it go?
Who do you trust?
I don't know. What do I... Yeah, who do you trust?
Okay.
We're going to do who do you trust.
All right. Now, are we going to...
I'll read the first scripture, you read the second. Okay. Then Tim's going to hold up the sign and tell me I'm out of time here in a minute.
Okay.
So, Proverbs 11:28 says, trust in your money and down you go, but the godly flourish like leaves in spring. What's the next one?
Psalm 52:7-8. Look what happens to mighty warriors who do not trust in God. They trust their wealth instead and grow more and more bold in their wickedness. Quote, and then it says, but I am like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love.
Psalm 62:10 from the NIV. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. The New Living says, don't make your living by extortion. Put your hope in,
or put your hope
in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life.
Jeremiah 17:5-6, NIV. This is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands.
Mm.
He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives.
Wow. Jeremiah 17:7-8, which is the latter part of that scripture. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him.
Yes.
He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit.
Praise God.
So the point is that we need to trust God.
That's
we
right.
are blessed with finances. We are blessed with good things, but we never put our trust in those things.
No.
We never put our confidence in those things.
No.
And let me finish this by reading a quote from Gloria Copeland.
Oh, yeah.
This
I know
is,
her.
let me see, where is that? That one is.
George is so organized.
That one is right
here.
That's your quote right there.
Let me
read that to them. This is from your series, The Kingdom of God, Days of Heaven on Earth series. You said, Jesus, now this is talking about the rich young ruler, which we really didn't get into the rich young ruler, but the rich young ruler got into a place where he was trusting his money more than he was what Jesus was telling him.
That's right.
And so you said Jesus was telling him to sell and give to the poor. But why did he tell him that? And we don't have any record of anything of him saying that any other time, because that was his problem. He was keeping the commandments. What he was doing was good, but he had this one problem. He was trying to set him free so he could trust in him.
Yes, amen.
Trusting in riches is the danger of being caught up in the world system. The world system can only go so far. It is not the answer to every need. Thank God I am not dependent upon the world's system.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And the scripture there's a scripture that comes to me in these remaining seconds, 1 minute. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Mm-hmm. Lean not on your own understanding.
That's right.
Acknowledge Him
in all of your ways,
and He shall direct your path. So,
praise
Father,
we
put our trust in You.
We
are not putting our trust in man. We're not putting our trust in finances. We're not putting our trust in things. We are putting our trust in the living God.
Yes.
And even as wealth increases, we are still focused on You and Your Word in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to
Amen,
God.
Gloria.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job,
Amen.
George.
Praise God.
George and I are not talking about something we've only read about. We've read about it. But we have lived by faith for a good long while now. Through hard, you know, when there were good times and bad times in the economy.
That's right. That's right.
The church, the ministry, our personal lives.
Yep.
We stood on the Word of God, and we have never been left out hanging to dry. I mean,
no,
God always comes across with His part.
That's right.
If you won't quit, you'll prosper if you stand on the Word of God and say it. George and I will be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.